Welcome to Big Natural Talents.
Okay, BNT knows we're back. We're here for the gossip. We're joined still by Nikki Britton. How are you?
I'm so great. I'm hot for the goss.
Yes. Hot for the goss. I mean, let's get into it. What do you think you're going to want to share today?
Okay, oh my gosh, guys, there's a been going through the Rolodex.
Please.
Okay, I've got a story, like what were we talking about before? Kind of about road rage.
Yes.
Awesome. And then there's one that was like a party that I went to that I accidentally did a thing.
Oh my god, I'm so excited.
Okay. Okay. Oh, what, both of these?
We're doing both.
Okay, wow. Please. Wow. Okay. Well, this just does not paint me in a good light, this next story. But cast our minds back to the big lockdown 2021. Mm-hmm. I had an old car, a Honda Jazz. It was black, if you need the full.
Thank you.
Yeah, I want to visualize.
Yeah.
It's a little hatchback, right?
It's a little hatchback. She was adorable. She was a 2007 model. I'd had her a long time.
Yeah.
She was on the way out. You know, blessed. She was in her twilight years. And what had happened was I parked her at my mum's house and my mum was moving. So she had put a whole lot of stuff of mine and hers in the car and then I'd purchased a new car. And then we went immediately into lockdown. So what happened was the car, my Honda Jazz, was parked near mum's house so she could keep an eye on it, full of stuff, and I had a new car, which I was not using. No one was driving. No one was going anywhere. It was lockdown. The car was very, very respectfully parked on a residential street. I chose specifically a street that had a lot of parking in it, you know, like there were big blocks of land. And the particular house that I parked it in front of legally was on a corner. So this house had about three or four parks on two roads that it kind of fronted onto. Now, I left that car there for about three months, 12 weeks. Sure, that would, in a normal situation, be frustrating, I guess, for the person.
Yeah, but it was lockdown.
Like, what's going on? It's not like you were going to have a party and you needed the spaces.
Yeah.
Anyway, one day I was like, Mum, we should go. We'll get the car. We'll clear it out. We'll do what we need to do. We arrive at the car. The car has been, unfortunately, sprung a leak. And it's been raining and now everything in the car is full of mold. The car's full of mold. Everything in the car's full of mold.
Ew.
It was a dreadful time.
Oh, I hate. I'd just be like, just crush it. Just put it in the
Honestly. Like,
set fire to it.
Get rid of it.
Sorry, you mean something in the car would have made a hole and there's now water getting in?
Well, I think it was just like it was an old car. I think the seals in the door had just kind of perished or whatever.
And that long. Yeah.
And that long. And then, you know.
I just would never have thought of that ever in
you
my life.
That could happen. You think a car is safe.
Yeah.
Little time capsule of all your possessions. What kind of stuff was in there, by the way? Like precious things or?
Like some of it was precious and some of it wasn't. You know those bags? Like Mum was a panicked packer. Mm. She just threw everything that she was like, is that Nikki's? Throw it in.
Yeah.
Because I'd had to stay there for a little bit because I'd broken my ankle and I was living with her for a moment. And anyway, long story short, it was a mix of precious stuff, so it was annoyingly like you had to go through it. And half of it was like old letters from, you know, not important letters, like just mail that got delivered to the wrong place and then ended up on a kitchen bench somewhere. People panicked, chucked it in a bag.
Yeah. I hate that. My mum's always like, I have a letter from Greenpeace for you. Yes. And I'm like, just put it in the shredder. I'm not giving them anything.
Yes. It was stuff like that. So there was like a letter from Greenpeace and then, you know, the ring that my nana left me, you know, like that stuff. So you had to go through
it. It's annoying.
Yeah. So We show up to the car, we have garbage bags, we have gloves, we have everything we need, and we begin the long process. This is at the end of the lockdown as well. So things are still pretty quiet, but legally we can be doing this. And so we start unpacking the car. A man across the road.
It's always a man.
It's always a man. A man across the road sees us doing this and goes, do you think it's fair, do you?
Oh, no.
And I said,
here we go.
What? Sorry, what? Do you think it's fair? that you've parked your car in front of his house, not even this gentleman's house.
Oh my God, he's going into war.
He's going into war for his neighbour.
There's always like a man on the street. He's the custodian of the street.
Yeah. And he's like, this man wants.
This street parking, yes, it's legally for all, but it's actually my responsibility.
Yeah.
And I am in charge of managing this situation and the moral obligations of everyone who parks here.
Yeah. Well, he's like the troll under the bridge.
Yeah.
Then he came out, sure enough. Does this man, where is he? Is he peeking out the blinds? How does he know
he's
here? I love
that. That's like, yeah, it's like Shakespearean. Okay?
It was.
Like, you hear it in the distance. Do you think it's fair? It was, and you're like, what? What?
You couldn't 100%. Write it. It was such emerges. Dialogue.
Yeah. Do you think it's fair?
Like, oh.
So
anyway,
funny.
So he's, I'm like, oh. And I, you know, there is a part of your brain that's like, I have parked that car there for 3 months. Like,
guilt.
I'm not flagrantly just like,
yes,
purposefully fucking people's lives up and taking up space. Obviously, I'm a woman.
Yeah.
I'm taking up any space, as little space as possible.
It's a Honda Jazz.
It's a Honda Jazz. It's a small car. It's a tiny little car. Anyway, this guy, do you think it's fair? And I said, sorry, what? What? Because now I'm stinging for a fight. Not a big fight, but just like
something.
Sir, step back.
Yeah.
We are in a global pandemic.
Yes.
You know, like people are up against it. I, at this point, had not hugged another human for 5 months. I have no dopamine to offer you. There is no serotonin in the situation for me. I can't possibly begin to be empathetic. Anyway, I said, I'm not sure what you're talking about. And he said to park in front of this man's house for as long as you have. He said for like 3 months or something. And I think I said, oh, I think it's closer to 4 months. Oh, did not like that. So did not cool. like that, sass. But I owned it, didn't I?
Yeah.
Anyway, so I kind of, we kind of, whatever. He is busy. He drives away. He's obviously got straight on the phone to his neighbor and said, these bitches, they're at the front of your house. They're get back. Out there immediately. So my mum is there. My mum is 68 years old. Like, she's got gloves on. She's got a face mask because it's full of mold and we're trying to not get COVID. And we're unpacking things onto a nature strip. Nobody's land, just a public nature strip. Sorry, this is really blowing out this
story. No,
obsessed.
No.
Okay, great.
Take every second you need
to get this story
crazy.
Out.
I was just writing down the phrase, do you think it's fair, for the episode title.
Great, and I wrote into war for the first time.
Amazing.
Perfect.
Okay, keep going.
We're jovial, we're doing our best, we're going about it quickly, peacefully, respectfully, and then this man comes out of his house.
Another man.
And he is...
I hate it when a man comes out of his house.
Why can't it be a dog or a lady?
Truly. There's just going to be trouble when a man comes out of his house.
He's not coming out for fun.
And this man was more enraged, more macho than the first man. I don't know how he missed out on the job of street parking advisor.
He was 2IC.
Yeah, well, he was 2IC and he took it real serious. So he came out and just like heavily breathed around us. Like he didn't do you think it's fair? He just like just grunted, just continued to grunt.
Wow.
And I looked at him and I said, like, honestly, I thought he was going to pass out. Like, there's too much air coming out. You've got to hyperventilate. I said, are you okay? Are you, like, I was genuinely like, you've got a problem. Like, you're unwell.
You've got COVID.
Please stop exhaling in my direction. And he said, well, you're doing it now, are you? And I said, I'm sorry, what? He said, you're doing this, are you? I said, yeah, yep. That's, I mean, evidenced by us doing it.
Nice.
I guess. And he said, well, yes, well. And just kind of kept saying words that weren't going anywhere.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, well, thank you for your input. He said, you're putting it there, are you? I said, yes, on the public nature strip, yes. We're putting it there. Then we're going to drive another car to pick these things up and we're going to drive this car basically to smash repairs. I just kind of like, whatever, vamped in that bit. And he said, right. And he went into his house and I heard a big motor, like a V8 kind of motor starting up in his backyard. He opens his back gate. So he's got a backyard with cars parked in it. He doesn't need the street parking. He's lousy with parks. But he opens his back gate. He drives this ute out and he parks it behind us and just like leaves the car running. Like he sits in the car and leaves the car running. I can't even, there are so many parks in this street. He has pulled right up to the back of the bumper of the Honda Jazz and he's just waiting for us to go. I was like, oh, sweet man, get a job, a hobby.
Totally.
Get like a TV show that you love. Do you know what I mean? Like the new season of Stranger Things is out. Please indulge yourself, sir. Like, really, this is a waste of your time. Anyway, so I was like, don't worry, Mum. Mum's a bit like, and I was like, don't worry. We're doing nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. We're, in fact, doing everything right. We're doing our best. That's all you can do. That's everything right, is doing your best. And so we just kept taking stuff out and sorting it out and organising it. And then someone parks.
No, don't.
So as he pulls away at one point, I can't remember why, but he was waiting there for an hour with his engine running. Like it took a long time for us to do this.
So is that just a move to be like, I'm checking to make sure that you are doing what you say? Is it like a surveillance thing?
I think it felt very predatory. Like not in a sense that
I know,
but like violently kind of.
Yeah, like
just aggressive.
Yeah, come on, go. I'm right here watching.
Yeah, it wasn't even come on, go. It was like, you'll fucking move. Like it was. Yeah. Real aggressive.
And he just wanted you to move, to be like, okay, we're just going to put stuff, shove it in the car and
move. Yeah, it was intimidating. Yeah. Yes. It was just an intimidation tactic. So busy.
I guess what's happened here is like normally a normal man is pretty obsessed with the parking on his street. Like in like the pie chart of his life, the parking on his street, like it's not a huge slice, but it's like a 20% slice parking on the street situation. Sure. And then he's got his footy club and he's got the league's club and, you know, and the footy that he watches. And then lockdown happened. All of those things went away and that pie
except
slice
parking,
that was parking on the street, he was just at home. He doesn't care about his home, his wife, his children.
Of course not.
No, he cares about the parking on the street. It really just like ate up his whole life.
It was the whole pie.
So this is like his passion.
Yeah.
So he's been he's probably been thinking about this every day.
And I should have understood that. And I should have celebrated it for him.
But he would have been like fantasizing about this. Because you know when you like do have like fantasies of like revenge about things? You're like, oh.
Yeah. Exactly.
And he's made stories about you. He thinks you're a whore who like kills dogs and babies and you're disgusting.
Like, this has been the gossip of the street. People are walking in their neighborhood for their hour of exercise a day and they're looking at each other across the street, pointing to my car and being like, still here, isn't it? Still bloody here. So he's absolutely fuming. Like he's really steaming about it. And this is his moment, which is sad to think.
Yeah.
It's really sad
to think that he's been like planning this retaliation for 3 months or more.
That's so sad.
And this is all he's got.
Yeah.
Like it would be intimidating to someone who was going to, you know, be intimidated by it, but he met me on a bad day.
Me after 3 months of no.
But it was just so impotent then. Like it was just such an impotent display of misplaced machismo. Please, sir, you have this much fury? Go and heal something in the world. Go and study something to make the world better. Yeah. Please. Mm-hmm. This is this park? This car park?
Yeah.
That's the hill you're going to die on? Anyway.
So he drives away. And did you say someone else?
He drives away while he goes. Someone else parks in the park where he was.
No.
Absolutely not. Like, nothing to do with us.
Great.
No aggression. Nothing. No problem. Remarkably, someone else parked. Oh, sorry, my mum parks her car in front of my car. So I have to go and get the new car to put stuff in the car, but mum parks her car there just so she can put her stuff in the car, whatever. So now my Honda Jazz is flanked by two cars. He comes back out. He brings the ute back out. This is when I'm about to pull out. He can see that we're finished and he's like, right, he's peeked out the blinds and he's going to come out and he's going to fucking get that park. He's going to get it. So I pull out of the spot and my mum is in her car and he is like revving this engine to like intimidating again, like revving the engine so aggressively. And I was genuinely worried about mum. So I pull out of the car Mum's still in her car and he pulls up next to Mum, obviously to try and do a reverse park. So I go around the block and I just park behind him, like sort of on the street, have my hazard lights on, just to keep a very close eye on what he's going to do to Mum or her car.
Yeah.
And this is the beauty of what happened. This man with his huge ute, with a huge engine, with all the fury in his heart. Do you think he could get the angle right to do a reverse park? Oh, no. My God.
No.
He could not do it. This moment that he'd been dreaming about for months, this retaliation of I'm gonna take that park once it's there. I'm going to take it. And he could not do it. He just could not get that park in. And now I'm parked in my car. Laughing, like he could see clearly in his rearview mirror. I was piercing myself, howling, laughing. Put the windows down. Let him hear the chuckles. Really, like laughed so hard in his face. And then eventually he got the absolute shits. Couldn't do it. Pulled out. Zoomed up the street.
Fuck off.
I was in bits. I was in absolute bits. And then I drove away, and I thought, you could leave it there. Or you could get that moldy tampon, one of many you found in the car that day, and you could put a post-it note on it that said, like, don't worry, babe, it's really hard to park at this time of the month. I hope this helps. And put that post-it note on the tampon and put it in his letterbox.
Did you do that?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So I posted him a moldy tampon. And like as the girlies, we understand a moldy tampon is such a threat. You know
it
what I mean?
Such a threat.
Like that's such a like a threat of toxic shock syndrome.
Oh my God, it's the severed horse head in the bed.
It's literally the female equivalent of a severed horse head. And just like, because I know, you know, like there is absolutely nothing wrong with having a period. Women can park. It is absolutely not about that. It's just that rhetoric, I know, is exactly what was going through his head.
Yep. Yeah.
And then, oh, sir, sweet sir, you can't even reverse park your ute? Sweet angel, here you go. Here you go. Plug it up because obviously it's not a good time for you.
That is the most baddest thing I've ever fucking
done. Like, it was my crowning glory.
Like, you could make a movie of that.
Like, you could totally make a short
film. I feel like it's taken me 90 minutes to actually tell the story.
So. His head would have blown off when he saw it.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That's the only injustice is that I wasn't there to see him receive.
Yeah. But you know he did.
And I do know.
And wait, sorry, does your mum live on that street? Like,
no, she moved. That's the beauty.
Oh, because she was going.
She was moving. So she. Guess we what? Don't. So there's no cars. There's no evidence. It's a perfect.
It was
crime.
A big rude finger.
It was.
And it wasn't impotent. It was the biggest potent. Rude finger. That rude finger.
So good.
It left a mark on that street forever.
But this is the thing, and you know, like going back to our previous episode, I do look at people and think, where is your pain? I hope, you know, where is your injured child? Like, let's look after each other. But in a situation like that, you know what? My injured child was present as well.
Your injured child was also giving the rude finger. Yeah. It's the two of you flanking.
You're fighting back.
It's just like an hour's worth of revving an engine and intimidation. Mm. I was like, you know what? Not anymore, sir. Not anymore. I've done nothing wrong, and your misplaced misogyny and machismo is not going to intimidate me. Have a tampon, you fuckhead.
No, it's no one would. If we did a poll, it would be 100% everyone on your side.
Like, the listeners of this podcast, absolutely.
Even the mug off.
Pop down to the football club, they'd be different.
Yeah. A man's street is his castle.
I think the whole Sydney podcast network would be behind you.
And it's a powerful group of freaks, weirdos.
It is,
freaks and geeks.
It is very influential in our own small circles.
The lobbying group. Wow. I mean, that was so nourishing. Good.
Okay, so Nikki, you had a dating story as well.
Yeah, this happened at the end of last year. No, beginning of this year? Beginning of this year.
God, time is blurring, isn't it?
Yeah. No, maybe it was the beginning of last year. I don't know. We had just got out of a real long lockdown. It must have been last year because it was the Christmas.
Out around Christmas.
Yeah. It was the Christmas because my family live on the Northern Beaches. It was the Christmas that was locked down on the Northern Beaches and we couldn't see each other. And my sister lives on an island. It was wild.
That's crazy.
It was like 5 to midnight and they had a boat in the open ocean. figuring out if they were going, like, what border they should cross before they could legally, like, make a version of Christmas happen with someone. Anyway, it was bleak times. And then slowly we unfolded, we got out of it, and I went on a date with this gentleman. And, fucking gentleman. Who am I kidding? He was like so promising. Like, it seemed so promising. And then I got there. It always seems so promising. He was a guy in his 40s and he,
red flag. First red flag.
First red flag, right?
He's a guy in his 40s.
I'm dating down from here on in. I'm not in my 40s, but like, I'm dating down just in case. I'm just shaving a few years off.
Yeah.
Why not?
Sorry, fellas. Sorry. Sorry to our loyal 40s.
Our loyal Gen X listeners.
I think we've got a few. And you guys.
And they're special.
If you're being teeny, you're different.
You get a pass.
You're allowed.
He was talking about his kids. He had kids. And I was like, sure. Yeah. How are they? And he goes, oh, I don't know. They're at home on their own. And I was like, oh, okay. Cool. I guess they're old enough for that. And he goes, yeah, I mean, they're old enough. They're pretty mature. Their mum died. And I was like, oh, God, I'm so sorry to hear. And he goes, oh, God, I don't care. We were already split up, but I guess it's shit for the kids. This is the opening gambit. I was like, oh, how long does this have to go for?
How did you meet him? And like,
just a dating app.
And were the vibes like fine
the
online?
The vibes were good. On the app, they were. This is the thing. I mean,
they hide their crazy.
They're able to somehow hide their crazy. And I will accept a good portion of crazy. You guys know me. You know the dog shit that I've put up with in the past. But anyway, it went on, and for about 45 minutes he talked about himself, and I was like, obviously, like, maybe he's just kind of giving it a bit of sass, but in fact he's actually grieving, and even though they were split up, like, where does the love go? Giving him absolutely every benefit of the doubt I possibly could. And after 45 minutes he had not asked me one question.
That's the bigger red flag to me. That one. Not asking any questions is crazy.
Absolutely nothing. And so I was like, okay, this seems interesting. And you want to get out pretty early. The stand-up thing. Because for men, it seems to be a pretty big deal breaker. Like, and hashtag not all men. Certainly younger men are better. But, like, there is an immediate shift in the energy of a man, and the kind of, like, their shoulders is where it happens. Like, you see kind of their shoulders sort of all of a sudden, like kind of puff up and puff out, and as though, like, I'm threatening their masculinity by
having a voice,
being professionally funny. Wow. And it's very odd, you know, and you can tell, like, it's some guys who have always been the funniest in their group, and they're all of a sudden threatened, and that's cool. Like, we're probably not going to match. If that's so important to you, that's fine. But he did. I said the comedian thing, and he barely shifted. And I was like, okay. Physically, he barely shifted. Obviously, in his mind, he was not taking it so well. And then he started saying, you know, like, you can't be that funny because I've never heard of you. And I was like, that's entirely possible. I mean, it's entirely possible because comedy is subjective.
But you don't need to say it like that. Like, a nice person would never say
absolutely
it like
not.
That.
Right? I mean, like, you're saying much more about yourself than me in that statement.
Yes.
And I'm getting all the information I need.
Yeah, and it's also like, oh, okay, so you're, like, following the scene, going to the festival. Yeah. So I imagine you're, you know, catching a few comedy store showcases a month and things like that. Is that really you? Finger on the pulse? Or do you just, like, only know who is on Carl the project, Byrne, which, by the way, I'm on?
It was, I mean, you know, like, again, I was just trying to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. And he goes, you also don't seem very funny. Like, you seem quite sensitive. And I was like,
all the words to choose.
I mean,
sweetie, if I was sensitive, I would be crying about your little orphan children at home by themselves this close to Christmas.
If I was sensitive, I would have left you now. I would be making dinner for the children, which maybe you would consider for next time. That's all I'm saying. Leaving the kids at home on their own. They'll be fine. Mum's dead. They've coped with worse.
I don't care.
Great gear from
when
him.
When kids' mums die, that famously makes them, like, kind of tougher, and, like, they can just kind of take a few more hits.
Leave them, like, put them in a kennel, if anything.
Whatever.
Just put them outside.
Did you find out how old they were? Or is that a reveal at the end?
I think the eldest was, like, 13. And then the youngest, like there was younger from there. So fine, like 13, yeah sure, you can be babysitting, I guess.
But pretty young.
But pretty young.
If they're like set 9 or something and 13, that's like, ugh.
Well, that's exactly right. Yeah. Like the 13-year-old will probably be fine. But what happens if the 9-year-old chops their hand off?
Yeah.
Like the 13-year-old, that's a bit much to deal with. They're still dealing with the grief of their mother.
Definitely.
You know? It's a lot.
They're tough.
I guess so. I love that we've made the whole story about the kids.
Yeah, I'm like, back to him negging you. Yeah. What comes out next?
So then he says, you know what you should try and do is be hot and funny. Because that will make you more – I can't remember if you said successful or popular or that will make you like more
successful. That's why I don't know you, because you're not hot enough. Because if you were way hotter, then he would have heard of you.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. And at this point, now I'm just playing.
Yeah.
You know, just the person enjoying.
For sport.
Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, okay. Oh, like how do you reckon, like how could I – And he said, oh, like, there's that, she talks about, like, she's got the dark hair and she's, like, very thin and she talks about, and I knew he was talking about Becky.
Oh, my God. I thought you were like, Concetta Carista.
Famously thin lady. He was like, oh, yeah, she talks about the chicken. And I was like, yeah. Is it? Oh, do you mean, do you mean Becky Lucas? And he's like, yeah, you know her? Yeah. Like, as in you know of her? Do you know of her comedy? Oh, yeah, no, I'm familiar with my very good friend, Becky Lucas. I'm familiar.
Yeah, I think I knew her.
I think when we do the gala together, like, Becky and I have a little chat.
She's actually a friend of the show, so.
Yeah, she's been on Big Natural Talents. Have you heard of her? Anyways.
Whoa.
Anyway, yeah, he was like, you should be, like, try and be more like her.
Isn't that the worst advice? Okay. Like, it's just so funny to give advice, but then it's like, yeah, that's how you succeed. Be exactly like someone else. That's how you stand out.
Isn't that funny?
Like, it's such a teen. I feel like that's as teenagers. It's what you did.
Yes.
Like, you looked to the people who are popular or in a relationship or sexy or whatever, considered good in high school, and you went, oh my gosh, well, I'll simply be them. I'll do that. And I feel like there is, like, in the pie chart of a woman's mind.
Definitely.
Possibly there is still a slight percentage of us going, how can I be more like her? What can I do? How, you know, why are they successful or hot or whatever?
That 20% for men in the car is us.
Yeah. That's and my parking other on the
women.
Street.
Exactly. Yeah. That's parking on the street. That's us keeping an eye on other women and being like, am I comparing in a healthy way here or am I just trying to emulate out of respect or out of low self-esteem of myself and not, but it was just like, oh my God, that's you. That you did that to us.
Yeah.
You absolute fucking piece of shit. Like, what a piece of shit.
What a piece of shit.
What an absolutely awful human being. Anyway, what I've started doing is I'm going to dye my hair a bit darker. I'm talking to Becky a lot. She's coaching me through a few.
You should listen to her with us and then we'll do it again. And if you could just do exactly what she does.
Yeah. I mean, inherently, I feel like Becky and I love Becky. I think she's exceptional.
Yeah, I love Becky.
I think we are at pretty opposite ends of the spectrum.
Absolutely could not be more different.
Energy and style and outlook and perspective and pretty much everything.
And honestly, a TV show that would be amazing is if you swapped just for one night.
Freaky Friday.
Like she Becky had, can you imagine Becky trying to do the youth? It would be hilarious.
She would be like.
And you being dark, sardonic, dark hair. It would be amazing.
So that was...
That's a great story.
I reckon
seeing it through that lens reminds you, oh, that's like, you know, internally you're always like, oh, should I be like this show? But then when you see it so blatantly, it's so easy to be like, oh, that's bad and I'm never going to do that.
Yeah, totally. Right? I was almost grateful for how blunt he was with his shitty behavior.
Yeah.
Because like I said, I would have continued to give him the benefit of the doubt and hope that like, oh, well, maybe like he was having a bad day.
Yeah, it's like way better if he just like beats you over the head with it. He's just the worst rather than being like insidiously like, oh, that's funny. I haven't really heard of you.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah,
you
totally.
Should try like, I don't know, you know? on camera it can be hard to look a certain way, then like that would get in your head more than if he was like, true.
What if you just was like Becky?
What if you be Becky Lucas? Like maybe your career would be better if you were Becky Lucas.
Oh my God, that never occurred to me. I could just be Becky Lucas. Why?
Oh my God.
Why haven't I done that? Why haven't I done that?
Been Becky Lucas.
That was what a so wild time.
You've told the best stories ever. Yeah. That's why you're a star.
Do you know what happened just before I started the date though? Like this is me giving him the benefit of the doubt that he's had a bad day. I literally got a parking, no, not a parking ticket, a real theme in my life. Not wearing my seatbelt.
Oh no.
Fine. Because I pull, like in my driveway, you cannot pull out of my driveway. You can't see up the street. Like there's a hill that comes down. People slam down that hill and you can't see up it unless I have taken my seatbelt off, lurched my whole body ahead of the steering wheel to try and peek out to see if there's a car coming. And I had done that. Also, dreadful time for titty pain, you know, like real sensitive bourgeois. So I had taken the seatbelt off because I do have a huge rack and it is genuinely difficult to try and like push your tits past the seatbelt to try and see up this road. Anyway, I'd taken the seatbelt off, safety first, and then as I pulled out of my driveway, I was putting the seatbelt back on and a cop saw me. Like, not 100 meters from my driveway.
That so shouldn't be a fine.
And I explained to him, I was like, I have incredible breast pain right now. Like, I'm trying to do this. And he goes, well, do you have a medical certificate?
Oh,
and
I said, you what? Don't.
Do you have a medical certificate?
For being fucked in the head?
Exactly. I was like, I'm a woman, sir. This is our experience. Do you think men invented seatbelts? I do. I absolutely do.
Your Honor, oh my God. I have huge cans, okay? Please. Maybe Your he was Honor, actually hitting on you.
Exhibit A.
Maybe he was like, do you have a medical certificate for those things?
And then he has the doctor seen to those huge titties?
We call the doctor about these titties? Holy moly.
So I'd had a pretty bad day. And then to cop, like, you know, my dead wife and you should be Becky Lucas.
Yeah.
I mean.
Come on.
I'm off to a date now and honestly, like, the bar has been set so low. I'll probably be married by the time we talk next.
We can't wait to hear about it. I mean, I hope it's really good, but also if it's really fucked and funny, I also hope that
it's
we hear about
episode.
It.
It's another episode.
Thanks so much for coming on, Nikki.
My pleasure.
It was the dream. It was the dream team.
We loved it.
It's my pleasure. You cuties, you're the best.
Can we do a really quick, I know we've got to get out of here, but really quick fuck watch. We do a game.
Oh my God.
Where it's like fuck, marry, kill.
Yes.
But instead it's two people, whatever. And it's one you're fucking and one is watching you fuck them. Amazing. And like contributing whatever.
Hang on. Okay, so there's two people. There's two people. Other people in the room. Got it.
Two people. One, one you're fucking, one might be doing dirty talk while watching or like whatever the character would bring. And it's the guy who nagged you on a date and the angry guy from the street.
Oh, okay, great. Who am I fucking? Okay. I'm pegging the guy whose house I parked in front of.
Mm. Yeah.
And the man who is giving me feedback is the guy that I went on the date with. But, like, obviously I put no stock into his feedback.
Yeah.
And ideally he's into BDSM and I've already, like, put a ball in his mouth.
Yeah, perfect.
Amazing. Is that, I've bent the rules a bit there.
No, there's no rules.
That's right.
Okay, great.
I think, like, and also, like, the other way around would also be good because you'd be fucking the guy that nagged you, but you could, like, be pegging him. But you could put a gag in his mouth as well, really mad. And then, like, the angry guy could be watching and doing his grunting, you know? Like the.
Oh, yeah, actually. Yeah, that's not bad.
He could be revving as you.
I mean, that is dirty talk in a way. Yeah. So really just adding to the whole ambience of things. Guys, I'm undecided now.
I think either way is crazy and fun and it might just happen.
Yeah, I mean, fingers crossed before the year's out, you know?
Yeah. Thanks so much for coming on, Nikki.
Thanks,
again,
Nikki.
Your podcast with Harley Breen, what's it called again?
It's called Mates Talking About Stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say Conversations with Mates. Yeah, mates it's having.
Like, it's a description of pretty much every podcast that exists.
At least you're honest.
We're just putting it out there.
Amazing. And the Nikki Britton on Instagram. We're Big Natural Talents on Instagram. Check it out. Follow, like, subscribe. True. You. Blah, blah, blah.
Have fun. Go
be yourself. Thanks, Nikki.
Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.